Good evening. You're listening to special election coverage on KRBD Ketchikan. My name's Layla Carey, and for the next hour, we'll be talking with candidates for city mayor. With me in the studio are incumbent Lou Williams III and challenger Ed Plute. This is a call-in show, so if you have questions for the mayoral candidates, please call 225-9655. But first, we'll start off with some introductory remarks from each of the candidates. Tell us about yourself and why you want to be mayor. And this time, we'll start with Ed Plute.
Hello. Obviously, my name is Ed Plute. But anyways, I moved here in about 2000, and I've worked for the Navy for several years as a marine electrician. And I'm basically, I see this town, I'm not a politician whatsoever, and I've never been elected to any office, but I'm at the point in my life where, you know, I got to do something for society, and this is one of them, and this is about our community, it is not about me, and that's where we're at so far. Thank you.
Thank you, and Lou Williams III.
Thank you, Layla, and your audience. You know, I've been involved with local politics for a while. I enjoy the, you know, the local, small town politics. I'm not interested in state or federal kind of politics. I am so community oriented since I grew up here. I have a business here. My kids are here. Now I have two grandkids here. And so, you know, what you put into your community is what you get out. And I've always encouraged that with not only myself or my employees or my kids. I also encourage the people in the city to get involved with the community, because it's whatever you get involved with, you can make it better. And the lack of involvement, that's what hurts. And so I've always been involved. I think there's some things here we continue to make it better for not just my generation, but for the next two generations. Make Ketchikan a wonderful place to live and grow your families. And, you know, we're shooting to keep making this a diverse and economical, viable community so we can keep our kids here so we can continue enjoying the lifestyle here.
Thank you. And please do call in with your questions for the mayoral candidates, 225-9655. My ideal call-in or candidate forum would be one where I don't get to ask hardly any questions at all. So we will start off with a budget question. Expenses do keep going up with anticipated diminished revenue, at least from the state and possibly the feds. What measures would you support to keep the city budget balanced? And we'll start with Lou Williams.
Well, you have to look at everything from, you know, the one thing we all try to stay away from are rate increases. And this council for over the years or last two decades have been really good at that. We need to not only look at, you know, if we have to trim positions, we look at that. New ways to bring in funding, you know, and, you know, we brought up the tax on tobacco was an idea, and there's others out there that we can look at to bring in revenue, and then it's just cut programs. There's really, you know, there's not much you can do with something like that other than, you know, you have to look at your expenses and how do you reduce them or increase your revenues to make it happen. And then you look at your service level. I mean, what do you want? And because when you make cuts, you're changing the service level, and it's you know, it's a tough thing to do. The economy has not been, it's been flat here for 5 or 6 years now. The state has no money, so we're going to have to be a self-sufficient community. We're going to have to decide what we want and what we want to pay for and not do the other stuff. But this town, I think, is in a good position to do that. Our budgets aren't out of whack. We can afford them at this point. Each budget time, it comes tougher and tougher. But we look at new things to do. You know, I've been trying to make some changes at SEPA for the KPU and the power, you know, reduce the wholesale power rate to help the utilities. There's all kinds of different things and different, that's why we have different people on the council, because there's all kinds of different ideas. But it comes down to you either cut or you raise more revenue.
Okay, and Ed Plute.
Okay, well, as far as I can see, one of the issues I got with the budget as well as anything else goes, is this chloramine situation. We can stop in this tracks. It's not mandated that we have this. There's no federal mandate whatsoever on this. If we stop in this tracks, we'd probably save many millions of dollars, and all we need to really do is build a standpipe 6 feet to 8 feet, and it would clear the water problem up immensely before we can actually drink our own water without spending all these monies. The second thing we need to do as far as the budget goes is, since Carl Lambalon's been in office all these years, We have several projects as these. He's went over $5 to $6 million on each project, knowingly as such. And, you know, this is mismanagement of taxpayers' money. So, you know, basically, if he's gone, we might be able to control the city again, because there's no reason for us to pay this kind of taxes with the tourist industry the way it is. It's balanced itself out fairly well. But the thing is, we can't rely on that forever as well. We're too far in debt to keep doing these things. Thank you.
I'm actually going to ask for clarification on the chloramine issue. You said
yes.
We could just build a standpipe and that would clear up the water. How would that work?
Well, basically, you can get out of high school with a minor in chemistry school, go out there and take the samples. The problem is the pollutants are in the last foot and a half in the water near the standpipe. That's where the contaminants lie. If you bring the standpipe up, and we have enough evidence of that through Aaron Brockovich's people. They did the area and studies on this. And KHM2 Hill, they've been paid millions of dollars for the same thing that a science student could do the same study. It's a joke. Thank you.
Okay, so you're just saying we need to get the water from a different location.
Same location, but just a standpipe.
Okay. All right. Thank you for the clarification. My next question is regarding retail marijuana operations. Do you support allowing that within the city? And if so, what about a local excise tax on marijuana? And this time we will start with Mr. Plute.
Okay, first of all, I don't smoke the stuff. You know, the most you can do is a refrigerator drive-by robbing or something, you know, basically. But I support, you know, it having it in a location, you know, where it's not accessible to students, et cetera, et cetera. And you can't have a whole bunch of them because it makes no sense. But as far as taxation goes, it's a product. Yes, it's going to be taxed.
Thank you. And Lou Williams?
That's a good question. We're looking at it right now. I've got a lot of ideas. Myself, you know, they was approved. They're talking about, the main thing is retail. Do we set up a retail outlet or... who does it? It's going to have to be decided. My only problem with it is the edibles. I think the edibles are directed for younger kids. If we don't have edibles in it, I'm really comfortable. If there's edibles in it, I probably wouldn't support it. I know we got a lot of things. I mean, I've been following along with Juno and others, you know, where they're even talking about lounges with the facility. I mean, when they have... retail places, you know, to have tourists can come in and utilize it. But there's a lot to it, and it's going to be and I want to be part of that debate for next year. I think it's going to be the biggest issue this town will have in next year, and it will be really interesting to see how it falls out. You know, some council members are talking about, well, if we're going to open one, shouldn't the city run it? Then we could run the operations and collect the profits tax, and there is a community down in Washington that does such a thing. If we don't do it, if the city goes ahead and gives out some kind of, I don't know, I'm not even sure how you permit it or whatever, how many do we put out there, and how are they given out? So I imagine some of the laws that the state is going through will probably give us those answers. But it'll be really interesting, and I think it's going to be a real interesting topic all of next year.
And what about the excise tax?
Any kind of taxing on it you can do, I have no problem.
Okay. And my next question is related to the proposed tobacco tax that the borough has tabled, but the city is still considering. What are your thoughts on that? And this time we'll start with Lou Williams.
Thank you, Layla. You know, I had no problem supporting a tobacco tax. $1, $2, $3. I mentioned that to borough members. Whatever they want to make the amount, I have no problem. It's another way to get revenue. You know, there was a big argument, oh, it's just a money grab. Well, to me, it's other ways to find money to help take care of this budget shortfall we're going to be facing from the state and within the city. The part of it would go towards, anti-smoking, which is great. And otherwise, it's another way of finding some revenue. I don't smoke myself, so, you know, it doesn't have an impact on me, and I've run into many smokers who disagree with that, but we want them heard too. So if the borough wants to move ahead, I don't see the city moving ahead with it without the borough involved. I think the retail sellers inside the city would not be happy if we put a tax on inside the city and there was one not in the borough. So I think that that's why we went through the Cooperative Relations Committee and working with the borough members on that. So we come out with something that, you know, the whole borough would, and city would do together. And if the assembly right now isn't in support of it, I don't think it's going to go anywhere.
Thank you. And Ed Plute.
I don't support new taxes whatsoever. A matter of fact, the thing about the tax structure in this town is, you know, when you run across a streetlight signal at the next unemployment office that costs over $300,000, and you ask yourself, why this thing doesn't even work during power outages when it only has a couple $100 fix it. And that's just one of hundreds and hundreds of little overspending things that this town does consistently. And if you look through the books I have for the last several years, and found hundreds of these same examples of waste of taxpayers' money. And this has got to come to a stop.
Thank you. And Lou just mentioned the Cooperative Relations Committee, and that brings me to my next question, which is how to improve the almost always contentious relations between the borough and the city of Ketchikan. And this time we'll start with Ed Plute.
Okay, I think basically it would work if we did get together, but the problem is the reason it don't is because they want to have their own little power grabs, and that's just childish. Thank you.
And Lou Williams.
Well, I think Ed sort of hit it on the head. I do think a lot of the contention starts at the management level. I get along real well with the assembly members, and they have some different views than we do, and I have different views than them, and I seem to get along great with them, so I think there's more than just city members and borough members having a problem. I don't think it's always our problem.
How do you fix that, though?
I've tried. Being on the Cooperative Relations, I've mentioned it to both managers more than once. And, you know, you just keep working with it. It's part of, I find it within other organizations. I mean, other outfits, everybody has their little kingdom and their little area, and, you know, they protect it, and they think their areas, and, you know, and I'm not saying they're great. We have good management in this community. I'm not complaining about the management at all. It's just that sometimes they, you know, the management's battle too. So I don't think it's a big borough assembly, big city council issue. I think we can get along fine. I have no problem with any of the members of the assembly, and they disagree with me, and I disagree with them sometimes, but, you know, if I disliked everybody I disagreed with, I wouldn't be married for 35 years.
You do remember this is live, right?
Yes.
All right. And, Ed, did you have a specific solution?
There is no easy solution based on the fact it's so embedded in this community of disagreements with different governmental systems. So, you know, it would be the people's vote that would have to change the whole system.
Okay. And I do want to remind listeners, this is a call-in show, and this particular forum is only an hour. So if you have a question for the mayoral candidates, please call 225-9655 to make sure you get your question asked on the air. And my next question is, what are your thoughts on a proposal to turn the old fire hall on Main Street into an artist residency program? And this time we'll start with Lou Williams.
Well, that's been an issue in front of the council recently. In the beginning here, the council has turned that idea down. We're all in support of getting the Saxman Carvers in there while they're working on the building out at Saxman. I guess the thing, the last step we took was last meeting to start getting an appraisal of the building, see what it's worth, what we can utilize it for, if we want to keep it, or is there anybody out there that's interested in buying it? Councilmember Severson, he has ideas of maybe a future, some kind of energy source for the whole downtown area, you know, alternative energy, and doesn't want to give up this facility yet. Other members have had an interest in trying to sell it and see if we can just sell it on the market. And I imagine if we have no other, you know, if we no interest in that, eventually we might sit there and discuss it with the Arts Council and see if we can work out some kind of agreement.
And Ed Plute.
Well, I think the Arts Council should definitely let them use the building based on the fact that it's emptied. But is it safe since it's been so old for quite some time now? And if we give this to these people or let them use this, does the city have to retrofit this to fit the standards, today's standards, for them to go there. And if it's going to cost us a bunch of money to do this, then no. So that's how I see it.
Okay, thank you. And we did get a caller, but the caller didn't want to talk on the air. So Mark sent in his question on a note. How do you feel about consolidation? And this time we'll start with Ed Plute.
Well, like I said earlier, the consolidation part probably won't work unless it's put to a vote, because based on the fact is they're playing these little kingdom games, as Lou had said, and it all adds up to the same thing. It's just a crazy bunch of kids trying to protect the sandbox. So it would have to be up to the people and make it a state, a borough-state vote kind of thing, how it would work. And that would be the only way it might be resolved.
And Lou Williams.
Well, I've been involved with a couple of votes on unifying consolidation. I think the last consolidation project or movement or whatever we did from the city council side, it was a very good proposal, a very thought-out one, and it was a good one to approve. The people in outside the city limits didn't want to be a part of it, and that's the say. You know, you go to a vote. I'm not going to lead another consolidation thing. Somebody else is going to have to do it, and I don't see it in the near future. The I mean, that last one was really put together, had great it was a great organized proposal, and it was voted down, and I don't know if we can put together anything better for the people in the outside the city limits to vote for, unless they there's some need outside the city limits that they want to push to get into the city. That's the only way I can see it happening, and I don't see that in the near future.
And we do have a caller on the line. Deborah, are you there? Hold on, I have to turn you down a little bit. Go ahead with your question.
Well, as you well know, the state is having budget crunches, and we have always traditionally gone to the state for money for our infrastructure needs. And I believe this year we have a capital request of, I don't know, I didn't look it up, at least $20 million. And so I'm wondering, isn't it time that we started planning to fund our own infrastructure? And I would wonder if either one of you would have the city staff figure out how much revenue we need to generate in order to fund, say, $20 million worth of infrastructure. But I just did it quick and dirty, and it would be about $500 million. so at our current sales tax rate. But have either one of you got plans to create enough economic activity in Ketchikan to fund our own infrastructure so that we don't have to raid this permanent fund or raise income taxes at the state just to subsidize local government?
Okay. Plans to improve our own ability to do projects here that we need. And we'll start with Lou this time.
Thanks, Deborah, for the question. The future is the community is going to have to rely on itself to fund anything that we're going forward with, especially in the city side. We're going to be just looking at, talking about infrastructure. It's going to be sewer and water. It's going to be the very, not the popular things. And how are we going to do it? I think we did that. There's that list for the state, which I don't think any of us think we'll get a dime for like we used to. And that will be, we're putting it together. I think we all proved it at the last meeting. You send it north. And I don't think anything's going to happen with it. One thing we can still probably get money from is the DOT projects, that they fund for roads and some sewer and water. We'll probably can still get some money from their list. They'll have their top five projects or whatever that they fund each year. But if we're going to be doing anything, we're going to have to either bond or do real small repair stuff. The big thing coming up is the state wants to pay from the tunnel to Tatsuta, and they want to dig all that up. We don't have the money to get in there and change all the piping or whatever, so we might look at what are the worst sections and maybe go in there and do some replacements there or whatever else we can do to keep it going for a few more years. Our problem is that our city is getting old, and we're having to turn to those old metal and cement pipes and fix them up. And it's going to be a slower process because there is no money, and we're going to have to decide if we want to fund them, you know, bond them or not. And, you know, as a city, we're going to have to look and see, you know, we're going to have to really decide which is most important and can we hold them off for a few more years. I mean, I can see us, you know, projects slowing down a lot. I hate to say it, you know, we've had a lot of construction here over the last 6-7 years, and it's been good for our economy. But, you know, I talked to construction workers, and they're looking at that hospital project they're working on, and they're going, you know, once that's done, we don't have anything else to do. And that's sort of scary. So I'm hoping we can have some little things so we can keep some guys working around here. But definitely it's going to be what this community will step up and want to fund. And it's going to be something that we can propose to them. We got to be very, you know, smart in what we look at and determine what needs to be done at this time and what can we afford at this time. There's some money coming into the sales tax that we can utilize, public works sales tax, but it's not anything to fund $20
million. And Ed Plute.
This is the very same thing that I've warned people and wrote letters to many times in the Sent News. You know, they've been throwing money away on so many different projects around here. You got another example, a $300,000 break room in the old building at the water department down there. If you go down there and take a look at it, ask yourself why it costs $300,000. This is one of many things out there. You know, $250,000 generators, you go look at it and you go, really? I mean, this is the kind of stuff that's really out there and why our budget is not together. And these are involving the people that are in charge of this that are not holding their nose to the grinding wheel and going forward with something. And these things, if you look at these projects and you ask yourself, how could that possibly cost this much, is because you let them cost this much. Nobody ever really made a major complaint about it. And I keep complaining about these projects costing this much because there's no way in God's green earth that these projects can cost this kind of money. And that's what I got to say on that part of the budget.
Okay. And Deborah's question actually goes well into my next one, which is also related to infrastructure and along with increasingly stringent regulations, especially related to city water. And my big concern is how to prioritize the projects that are coming up, and also so which projects should be first? How would you prioritize how we do that? And this time we'll start with Ed Plute.
Okay, first of all, we don't need these chlorine mains, and yes, we're going to lose a lot of money, but if we stop in these tracks, we're going to save a lot of money right off the bat. And second of all, there's a lot of this work wouldn't be needed to be done based on the fact is that this chloramine is actually rotting the seals. If you take a bowl of water in a plastic bowl and leave it sit a couple of days on your sink, go look at it in a couple of days and you ask yourself some questions, and they're real deep questions. It actually rots the plastic and leaves a pink residue in the plastic. So you're asking yourself to be poisoned by a city we don't want to be poisoned about. We had a petition we started with Amanda Mitchell. We had enough signatures to stop in his tracks, and the city attorney just threw it in the garbage and didn't recognize us. Well, recognize us now. Thank you.
But what about prioritizing projects?
That's part of what the projects are. Some of the projects are they know the seals are going to be rotted. That's why they went out and bought $several million worth of seals prior to, because they knew it was going to happen. And that's what I'm getting at. If they knew this was going to happen, why did they let it happen? And why now are the projects all of a sudden? I understand there's rotting infrastructure and things like that. But we're so far in debt, we can't have any more bonds, basically. We're too far in debt as far as what the town is actually worth to what we borrowed against it already. So right now, if you add up all the bonds of what we actually owe, it's scary. So we better back away from a lot of stuff and start looking at the real small problems in the buildings and work with them first, and then we'll get it under control.
Okay. And Lou Williams?
Well, I think, you know, we have to look at our basic infrastructure first and what we need to be done. You know, the Public Works Department and over there in the Water Department, they look and follow. I mean, they know what storm drains are the most critical. They know which pipes are most critical. And that's what we got to follow. What ones need to be done now? Which ones we can put off for another year or whatever? And just try to go along. It's not going to be a big fix in one big year. It's going to be a little at a time.
Okay, thank you. And we still have Deborah on the line. She apparently had more to say. Oh, sorry about that, Deborah. Go ahead. Deborah, are you there?
Hello?
Okay, Deborah, are you there?
Yes, I'm here.
Okay, go ahead. Go ahead.
Oh, well, thank you for your thoughtful answers, both of you, on the need to cut expenses and to tighten our belts about infrastructure. But neither one of you answered my question, which was, what are you going to do to increase the economic activity in Ketchikan so we can afford our own infrastructure?
Okay, thank you, Deborah. And this time we'll start with Lou.
Well, I think we've already started on that. That's something that the council, at least in all the years I've been on there, have already been have always been worked on. You know, we have pushed and worked on the shipyard. I mean, we've taken that over twice to keep it from being, you know, that ship lift from being taken away. So we've always been in support and whatever we can do to keep somebody operating that facility. Where right now the big investment is the hospital. We want to put in that new surgical facility, and hopefully that's going to bring in more, you know, business, more doctors that can specialize in something that this not only this community, but the communities and outside from Prince Wells, Malakatla, Wrangell, Petersburg can come to, too. So we're always looking, you know, we keep our water rates low, even though we battle over that all the time. We have low electric rates, and that's helped us down Stedman Street with all that construction with the canneries, you know, all those bunkhouses. Those aren't brand new. I mean, those are brand new pretty much in the last few years because they've been centering a lot of their work here. And that's another economic development. So we put in the drive-down ramp for the fishing fleet. You know, they all want, they wanted that and been pushing for years, saying, hey, we want some facilities here so we can stick around here and not go somewhere else. And so we did put that in there. We added the fourth berth and the third berth over these years because now we can put four gigantic cruise ships in there so more people can come off. So when the council's doing something, you know, we're always looking at how is that going to help us economically, at least on the time I've been on the council. That's, you know, that's one of the main reasons I ran. You know, we had a business here in town, and we wanted to keep doing business here. And when the mill was getting squeezed and squeezed till it was dead, we were all worried about what can we do in the future, you know. And, you know, down the road here, hopefully there'll be some mining. But you got to keep working on it now, and hopefully, you know, in 10, 15 years, there's going to be a mining industry over there on Prince Wales Island that will rub off on us. So, unfortunately, it doesn't always come quick. You know, one of the things we did this summer is, you know, the protests in Seattle for the Shell drilling rig. You know, the first thing we did from the city was send off a letter to Shell. And a month later, we had 10, 11 Shell representatives here touring every facility we had in town, not only the cities, but the shipyards, the Word Cove, Spokley's. They were looking at everything, and maybe there's something here that we can provide for them, and that's what we said. You know, what do you need? So we're always looking for that. Sometimes it just doesn't come fast enough, but we're always looking to be open to that and see what the next thing is.
Is there anything in the pipeline now?
Four.
New economic opportunities.
Well, you know, I think what we're, you know, we've done the cruise, we've done the, we've worked with the shipyard for years. We got Vigor in there, who's a great tenant for the community, and the hospital is the late, I mean, it's going to be the next finish thing. The thing after that, we have to look at, you know, we're not going to expand the dock anymore. So we're looking at, you know, the mining has been a biggie, and we've been, whatever we can do for them. And we'll keep going.
Okay. And Ed Plute.
Well, the cost of doing business in Ketchikan is fairly expensive. It's really hard to bring in businesses when, you know, most of the people understand that, you know, this is a summer town. It's summer this and summer that. And that creates a problem. The shipyard is a great thing. You know, hospitals are extremely expensive. But my feeling towards the hospital, don't take this wrong, is you could build a Taj Mahal. You're not going to get anybody better or anything better at the time based on the fact is, I talked to Peace Health already about some issues, and the basic bottom line is they don't pay the specialist enough money to come up here. That's why most people have to go down south, and that's part of that. But however, I would like to start a boat museum based on the fact is that that would be employ several people and maybe help out some revenue for the city as well. But we better watch ourselves because it's going to get really tight, and everybody's going to be pointing fingers, and the people that did make the money of this town are going to be leaving this town and saying, thanks a lot, we made some money, goodbye. So, you know, it's kind of frightening, and I understand that, and this is what I'm going to try to work with. Thank you.
But do you have any ideas for increasing the economic opportunities?
There's almost it's right at this point in time, the way the economy is actually headed and what we're headed for, it's hard to bring in any business up here. That's the whole problem with it. I don't have any great fancy ideas, and I'm not going to lie about it, but most of these things up here, like I said, it's expensive to operate out of here because everything has to be shipped in and shipped out, and most businesses that are here already, and that's the bottom line what that deals with. The shipyard is a wonderful thing. I hope it expands, and there's a few other places that might. The mining is a good idea, and I looked at a lot of the mining issues, but we'll get an offshoot of that about maybe 15% due to the fact that the guys will come from Prince of Wales over here and have a party and get motels and eat and et cetera, et cetera.
Okay. Thank you both for that. And sticking with the tax revenue and economic opportunities, would either of you consider a proposal of annexing more land into city limits in order to broaden the tax base and increase revenue? And this time we'll start with Ed Plute.
Well, you pretty much know my answer right off the bat. No more, no more, no more, and that's it. Thank you.
Thank you. And Lou Williams.
So you're asking if we're going to annex any more land?
This is something that has come up as one of the arguments in favor of the proposed new city of Ward Cove, it would keep the city of Ketchikan from annexing the North End.
I don't know of any plans to annex the North End. You know, the only annexation that we've done in the time I've been on the council was that area out to Walmart, but, you know, that was for self-sufficiency. I mean, Walmart was built out there with outside the city limits, you wouldn't have hardly any limits. I mean, they're taking, you know, $20 million in sales, probably 18 to $20 million in sales. That's a lot of sales tax money. We'd be sitting here trying to figure out what to utilize to pay or have a gigantic mill rate. So, you know, there was an economic issue when the Walmart came out there, and that's why, you know, it was pretty self-explanatory why we had to do that. And I don't see any threats. I don't see anything out there that the city would be interested in.
Okay. So no annexing?
Not that I know of.
Okay. Thank you. And this is a call-in show. So if you have questions for our city mayor candidates, please call 225-9655. And we'll keep going with my list. What do you think is the role of nonprofit organizations in Ketchikan? And this time we'll start with Lou.
Well, I guess what they're organized to do, I guess, is what their role is.
I clarify?
No.
What is their importance to Ketchikan as a community?
Okay. Well, they bring diversity to the community. Everybody has different interests, and a lot of these outfits, you know, we're really strong in the arts in this area, and everybody loves to be that and get involved and be entertained. And there's a group of people that enjoy that. There's a whole group of us that are involved with sports, you know, and do a lot of stuff with that. And so it just makes the community better. When it comes down, you know, a lot of them the city supports through our sales tax. And each year we go through the process of giving some out. I think it was around $350,000. And as things get tighter, that could get tighter too. But we all want to support the nonprofits. And my philosophy is always, you know, seniors first. And so all the senior programs should be taken care of before anything else. And that's the way we should go about when we do it each year. It's, you know, these are popular programs. They're programs that make the community what it is. So, you know, I've always wanted to support them. And now as we go into, we'll see how things go. You know, I don't know what we're expecting at this budget time, you know, how the sales tax came in and what's going on. But we get handed that deck in, you know, November, and we start shuffling it and see where we end up.
And Ed Plute.
Well, a lot of places have nonprofits, and this community needs them because, you know, it's a very tight-knit community within itself. And I don't mind giving money to certain nonprofits at all. And like Lou said, you know, the seniors are the most important thing we got. They're the ones that done everything for us prior to us coming into this world. And that's you got to have a respect for. and I love the children of the town, and they basically, you got to look at them too, and you know, you got to get them guided in the right directions. But and yeah, you need these things, but like I said, we're going to have to start tightening our belts up and watch these budgets and find out where all this money is. I mean, I know where the money's at. You can see it. So, you know, we could run into a better balance and an idea of what this town is coming to.
Okay, thank you. And my next question is regarding water rates. They've increased steadily the past few years, but there have been questions about the fairness of the current rate system. Do you think the current system should change? And this time we'll start with Ed Plute.
I think this current system has definitely changed. Like I said about this water, they're spending enormous amounts of money on all of these things that we really, really don't need. And, you know, you don't need an advisor and a smart chemist to come up here and tell you what to do. It's just nonsense what they're doing with this water system. And we're going to end up, this water system, we're going to end up paying probably $150 to $200 a month at the rate they're going. And no, it's time to take our water back. This has got to come to a stop.
I guess my question was more related to the water rates that are charged on each residential bill each month. And how that's structured and how it has gone up by about 5%, I believe, each year for the past few years.
Right. See, but there's also the water, part of the water rate is probably connected with the water department's sewers and et cetera, et cetera. That's where that comes in at. But also it should stay level based on the fact is we can't afford to keep pouring money into this water system.
Okay. Thank you. And Lou Williams?
Well, talking about history, our water rate system was formed probably when the community was originally formed, and everybody got a set fee, and it wasn't about how much water you used. And as we get into these more modern times, I guess we should change our code and do the same, and it's been talked about for years, and it's just, you know, it's slow to do, it's difficult to do, and we're slowly starting with our major water users, and last year we made the we talked to EZ Phillips and the other canneries, and we said, hey, we're going to raise your rate, you know, 8% over the next 3 years. After 3 years, we're going to go on to, metering. And once we get some metering on the largest users, then we'll probably go down to the next level. And we've already talked to the management to look at that level. And, you know, the manager probably really doesn't want to look at that level too much too hard because, you know, all of our harbors are in that water level. And so, you know, it's going to be a difficult transition in some ways. It's a direction the council wants to go. And I imagine it's going to be a few years as we do it here that it will start slowly getting into metering. Will we meter residential? You know, some residents want it, some don't. When we originally brought this up, boy, about 10 or so years ago, you know, people came to the meeting screaming they didn't want a water meter on their pipes. And so I don't know whether that attitude is now, if it's changed. But we'll start with these biggest users. I mean, there's, you know, and it's, we got to, you know, it's rough. Like I was talking to Jack down at the laundromat, you know, he's got a lot of washers and everything, and he doesn't get charged by how much water he uses, it's by his units and everything. And so, you know, sometimes he's paying a lot of money for nothing happening down there when it's slow in the winter. So it's unfair for him, too, and we're trying to work with that also.
Okay, thank you. And this is a call-in show, and we have about 20 minutes left in this candidate forum for city mayors. If you want to call in with your question, call now at 225-9655. And I do have a question that was submitted by a listener for the borough assembly forum on Tuesday, but it was not necessarily appropriate for the borough to address, so I saved it for you guys. Do you think KPU Telecommunications Division should continue to offer pay-per-view adult programming? And this time we'll start with Lou.
That came up when we first started it. I'm not a big fan of it. Originally when we put it on there, they told us if we want to make any money, we got to have it on there. And that's where it sort of settled. And I don't know what that kind of reflection is on everybody here in the community, but that's the way it is.
And Ed Plute.
No, personally, I don't watch this stuff, but, you know, it's a free country. That's the way I look at things, and that's the bottom line to it.
Okay, short answers. So
my
next question is, if elected, what would be your top priorities? And this time we'll start with Ed Plute.
Well, my first top priority would be getting a way to figure out, see, the citizens here are the ones that are important. That's the most important issue here. And the citizens are complaining. The elderly are complaining about rashes, skins, medication problems. I'm hearing this all the time from a lot of people. So I'd say just stop the waters as tracks. That's what I'll try to do. It's going to be very tough because I'll run across a lot of people that are in office right now that'd be a little bit angry at me, I assume. And the other thing, like I said, we need to tighten our belts up, period, because at this point, we're just spending way, way too much money on stuff that just doesn't make sense anymore. We need to start cleaning house in this town and one do it once and for all. This town's been in trouble for a long time, and it's going to take a few years to straighten it out. It took a long time to mess it up, and that's how I feel about it.
Thank you. And Lou Williams?
Top priorities. Well, I think a lot of things get thrown at us, like the marijuana thing is going to be a big priority and topic for next year. I think projects and what do we want to do in the way of our infrastructure will be an issue. I think the main thing is every budget time, and that's where people talk about, well, why don't you make planning, get planning meetings and decide what you want to do. Well, I always consider our budget the planning meeting because that's where you decide how to spend your money. And it becomes an issue. Like I said, our economy's been flat since 2009. This community economy peaked in 2008, and like a lot of communities throughout the country. And since then, it's been flat. And I'm talking to economists and bankers that have been coming through town, they're expecting it to continue to be flat. And I don't see a difference. I'm just hoping that a lot of this centers on are in national. A lot of the issues back east. So we just have to do our best to, utilize the money we have. And what we want is a quality of life here in Ketchikan. And we don't want to drive people out with super high fees and rates for everything. So you have to make a balancing act. And that budget time is the time you do it and you decide where you want to go. And try to encourage, that's why we're out there doing this stuff with the hospital and the shipyard and everything. We want to bring in people that will spend money and keep these businesses going. I just talked to another person who's going out of business this at the end of this fall and is going to go do something else. So it's been tough out there, especially, unfortunately, it's for the small guy. When the economy gets flat, your hometown businesses, small guys, they were trying to make it. And what do people do when they got less money? Well, they go and look online and buy it at Amazon. And, Amazon's thriving down there in Seattle. Well, no wonder. It's the economy, stupid. And, so we're dealing with the local guys here. And we're trying to keep, be able to provide for the, the residents here what we do as a business. So it's a balancing act. And Ketchikan's been doing a good job at it. I'd rather be here. And a lot of the bankers I talk to say you'd rather be here than Fairbanks.
Thank you. And I did have one kind of unusual question to ask each of you. Do you have a question you'd like to ask the other candidate? This time we'll start with Lou.
Well, boy, you should have prepared me. Ed expressed his feelings. I know where it's coming from. I, don't have anything, specific. I think Ed represents himself real well.
Thank you. And you as well.
Thank you.
Ed, you don't have a question for Lou either?
No. He knows what he's doing.
All right. Well, my next question is, what's the best thing? One best thing that the city did last year. This time we'll start with Ed.
Ooh, that's an interesting one right there. That's because I've been pretty much negative on the city, and that is my own fault. The drive down ramp is probably one of the better things that's been happening in this town. And I see that the borough and the city, they're working together on different funds to try to balance the budget on the schools and help the schools out because I know we're headed for a looming problem. So I think that's the better things that they're starting to do.
Thanks. And Lou Williams?
Wow, I wish you'd give me these questions ahead of time because I know I'm going to forget something, and tomorrow somebody's going to remind me, oh, well, you guys did this and this and this. And Ed's right, that drive-down ramp is beautiful, and I think that was a great improvement. In fact, I like all the harbor stuff we've been doing, you know, fixing up our harbor. That's great. I love the hospital project. I'm really anticipating that to be something good for the community. And then there's just a lot of little things, you know, the council does on different issues that are that I really am proud of the council and the directions they go. I just wish I could list them all.
You didn't stick with one there, Lou.
No, sorry.
And we do have a caller on the line. It's Mark. Mark, are you there?
Yes, ma'am, I am.
Go ahead with your question.
Gentlemen. I would like to know what your opinion is about what the city should do with the old Baldwin Street apartment that they tore down. It's now a huge lot right in the middle of downtown, and it's basically flat. And so I think there should be a lot of opportunities for the city to either market it besides just selling it. And I think we could use this for another community building of some kind or for community services of some kind, maybe even a park. Thank you.
Okay, thank you, Mark. And this time we'll start with Lou.
Well, we're in the process of deciding, you know, we got it torn down. There's a couple legal questions. You know, the city does not have control of the land yet. We've been thinking, I've been thinking too, you know, do we just, you know, a lot of people go, oh, make it a parking lot, you know, make it a park. I'm not sure what we would, we haven't really sat down and had a big discussion or gotten a lot of ideas. I think if we ever do have control of the property, it will be an issue that we'll be looking for input and what we can do and what we can afford to do. You know, that goes back. I remember, you know, that building there, ever since I've been around. And so it's, you know, when I drive by there, it's amazing. I still picture the building. it's an interesting question. I can tell you right now, the city does not have any idea what to do with it.
Is it even officially the city's yet?
No. We're still in the legal process.
Okay. Ed Plute?
Well, if the city does get the property, by all means, make a park out of it. It'd be the most efficient thing the city could do. Thanks.
Thank you. And we did get a question submitted by a listener who didn't want to speak on the air. What do you think are the three top functions or duties and or duties of the mayor? And this time we'll start with Ed Plute.
Well, three top function. The mayor right now it's an extremely brutal, tough job because he's got to work with city council, which is okay to work with, no problem. I don't have a problem with that. But he's working with a budget ran by Carl Lamelon. And Carl Lamelon actually throws the big shots out there. And the mayor has to make the decision one way or another, I understand it, but it's all tough to do. So, you know, basically the way they're working it, so instead of blaming the mayor or city council, you know, you should actually blame Carl Lamelon, but no, you can't blame the mayor and you can't blame the city council. So that's how that boils it all down to it.
Thank you. And Lou Williams?
Well, you're making me think tonight. You know, as a mayor, you represent the community of Ketchikan, and I've tried to always make sure I represent not only the community but the council and what the council's doing and what directions we want to go. So, you're a voice of what's coming from the city of Ketchikan, and I take that really, you know, responsibility. I don't take myself seriously, but I sure take the job seriously, and I enjoy and thank everybody for letting me have the opportunity to do it. So representing the city is one of the things. Working with the management and direction and giving input on that is, I think, an important thing. And the other thing is working with the council. You know, this mayor system here in Ketchikan is a weak one, so I got to grab for whatever I can get. And one thing I do well is at the meetings, working and making sure all the council. I like to work with the council members, make sure everybody's heard, and try to get a good debate on and direction what we want to go on. So you know, we do it efficiently. And everybody gets their input, you know, same way with persons to be heard. You know, when persons to be heard is on the agenda, part of the agenda, you know, I encourage anybody to come and talk and let us know. I don't battle you from the chair or whatever. It's your turn to be heard. People have come in there and told me what they think of me, and very good. I don't care if it's good or bad. This is your time and your time. You know, that's part of the local government. You can be heard. So work in those meetings. Being a representative of the community, I'm out there trying to build up Ketchikan, and I'm proud of what we've done over the years. I mean, from when the timber sank, I mean, we have diversified so much, and that was the word back then. Oh, we got to diversify our economy. Well, I want to tell everybody, we have diversified our economy, and we've gotten a lot of things off it. You know, we got it more into tourism, which provides more jobs for people to do. You know, like Eddie's doing charters. You know, and I got a whole bunch of pulp mill guys that are down the dock doing independent tours. You know, and same way with the hospitals, we add this, we can add jobs. I know some kids that have gone off. Learned some skills for, you know, into the medical community or back here. So, you know, it's just the little things. It's never, you know, you don't just one day wake up and Boeing says they're going to put a big gigantic plant in your backyard here. In Ketchikan, we've worked for it, and I'm very proud of the community because, you know, they are the ones that approved it. And when they don't want it, guess what they do? They slap us down and tell us to try something else. And that's what we do, and the government's been very responsive on that. So thank you.
Thank you. And what, in your opinion, makes you a good candidate for mayor? And we'll start with Lou.
I guess, well, first of all, I like to be involved with the community. And I've been involved for a long time. And as long as I'm going to be in this community, I like to be involved. I'm not planning on running for mayor again after this. So I want to get involved with some other things. And I think just being involved and being a part of your community is important. And that's important, and that's why I ran for the mayorship.
And Ed Plute.
Well, I said earlier, I'm not a politician by any means, but I've been studying the books and the budgets of this city for the past 7 years, and I could tell you where a pencil was a couple years ago, and I would make a great mayor, I believe, based on the fact is I would have a bunch of people behind me saying this is too much, that's too much, and I scrutinize the books consistently. And we have enough proof, and I have enough people out there that have been in the construction trade business that understand what stuff costs. I understand why a lot of businesses wouldn't move here. When they see how the city is run with its budget, they're going to ask themselves, is my tax dollars going to be put to good use? So there you have it.
Thank you. And we're getting short on time, so I'm going to go ahead with closing statements, and we'll start with Ed Plute on this.
Okay, well, like I said earlier, the only thing we can do is just keep plugging away, and, you know, we need to take a close look at the hospital still. I want to know why that we're still giving them millions of dollars on top of what we gave them based on the fact is it wasn't voter approved, and I believe the number might be $15 million. That might be true, Lou?
I'm not sure.
Oh.
Okay. Give them, we lease them, or they lease the property for us for $1 a year. And we're in charge of the facilities, and they're in charge of all the operation of the facilities.
Correct. So I'm making the assumption then that we're buying all the furniture and the goodies and x-ray equipment that goes with it. I just don't see where we should be keep on responsible with this. I have paperwork that shows that we did buy equipment.
Oh, there might be some equipment involved.
Okay.
I can find out.
Okay. And that'd be about it, man.
Thank you. And Lou?
Closing statements. I should have thought before I came here. I just appreciate everybody's involvement and asking me questions, and I appreciate everybody. It's running. We've got a list of people. One thing I've always encouraged is getting people involved, and sometimes it's hard, and it's not the best job in the world all the time. You know, you take some abuse, and, you know, you got half the people in the room are want you to do one thing, half the other, and so half the people aren't going to like you after the one of the votes. So you got to get used to that. You got to be able to make tough decisions, you know, and that's one of the biggies, especially at budget time. You know, you got to sometimes, you know, take a job away, and it's tough when the person's sitting there. So, but I've been involved with it, and I understand what has to be done, and you got to make those tough decisions, and I've been able to do that and not. Because it's the best thing for the community at the time. But I'm really happy with everybody running, and I'm glad Ed's involved, and I hope he continues to be involved. And the other council people that, you know, some will win, some will lose. I just hope the people come back and try again. There's plenty of opportunities throughout the community to get involved in politics from all the different assembly, school board, city.
Thank you both for being here. And that's it for KRBD's Assembly or City Mayor Call-In Forum. I have the wrong script in front of me. I've been your host, Layla Carey, and thanks to the candidates Lou Williams III and Ed Plute. And everybody, remember to vote on October 6th. Good night.